This year, we're working under a weird time constraint. Guys are leaving, and we're going to skip to the end, even though we didn't build up to there, because I think it'll help the whole dating process. So, how do you know if you're dating Mrs. Wright? Okay. Let's analyze a little bit of what happens and what we're exploring in the dating process, so we can understand if we match. Maybe we'll start on a point that's a little bit unorthodox, but we'll see how it's really important. There's a topic which, for some reason, has become taboo, and that is a person's looks. The Talmud says, don't marry a person until you've seen them, because it could be that you'll find their look unappealing. Could be that you'll be bothered by something about their looks. And the Torah says, "Vavta l'ra'acha kamocha." You should love your friend as yourself. So the Talmud here is revealing something about human nature. That if you're going to marry a girl who's amazing, but you're going to be bothered by her looks all the time, so then you're going to have a hard time loving her as yourself. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. You guys probably know this in the back of your mind, but you don't stay 18 or 20 or 22 or 26. You do age. I mean, conceptually, you're aware of this. Somehow, we all tend to forget it. But we're all aware that we're going to age, so your wives are also going to age, which means, how does a relationship remain constant if people's looks change? So you'll notice that the Talmud wasn't telling you this is the only thing that's important. The Talmud was saying this is also an important factor in marriage. Now, as the relationship develops and grows, so then the other areas, including the looks, take on a different weight. They become a part of a broader whole. So the Talmud tells us something which is important. The looks are important. So we live in a generation where usually that's number one on a person's list. If it's not number one, it's number one and number two and number three. Okay, but it's not number one, it's just an important factor. So how important are the looks? Well, you have to be comfortable with the person's looks. Very often people judge a girl's looks based on what their friends say. That's not right. You should have enough confidence to know, are you comfortable with her looks or not? Notice I didn't say that you think she's gorgeous. I said you're comfortable. Different people will be comfortable with different things. And there's no right or wrong here. So looks is important. But now let's go back to that Gemara. I think that if the Gemara said maybe her looks will bother you, I don't think the Gemara was saying only her looks. There could be other things. So when you're dating, you want to discuss things. You want to let the conversation flow. And as it's flowing, you start understanding one another's perspective. I was dating a girl that seemed pretty interested. She kept wanting to continue. And I kept feeling like this wasn't right, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And I was new to the game, so every time I'd ask people, they'd say, keep going, seems great. And something bothered me. And I remember we were sitting in the Jewish quarter, and we had a conversation about what happens when a sibling tells you, I'm too tired to drive, but don't tell mom and dad. And I said, of course you tell mom and dad, because they're endangering themselves and other people on the street. And she said, I'd never be able to do that. And then, you know, in Hebrew we say, ha-simon nafal. And then it clicked. She said, I wouldn't be able to get my sibling annoyed at me to do what was right. They'd get annoyed at me, so I wouldn't be able to do it. And I said to myself, okay, that's where we diverge. Now I understand where we diverge, why we don't see eye to eye, why so many things we've been discussing, there was something I couldn't put my finger on it. I understood, okay. Now I'm not saying that should be your criterion, Different people have different things. If you'd ask me today, would I still think that was a critical point? I don't know. In all honesty, I don't know. I'm a different person. Over a decade has passed since then. Today, I understand people differently. I understand the pressures people feel differently. I see things differently than I did then. But then, where I at least I thought where I was then, I didn't see how I could marry such a person. Okay, we broke off. Now, that again, I'm telling you, even I today, 12 years later, 14 years later, 15 years later, whatever, I don't know. I don't know. Thank God I'm not dating. I have no idea. But I'm saying today I see the whole picture differently. I'm a different person. So what you're trying to explore as you're dating is, do we match A in our values? When you think you're ready to get married, you have to ask yourself, do we share values? Now, this is one which people usually get wrong, unfortunately. Very often I've sat in that office and a guy said to me, she doesn't want to cover her hair. And this conversation happened so many times that I asked my wife, how do you answer that question? So my wife said to me, tell them like this. If you were told that once you got married, from that day onward, every Tuesday, you'd have to walk out in pink pants with purple polka dots, would you be willing to do it? See, it's you, me, no. Wait a second, right? You'd feel like it was just not you. Wait a second, that's a girly thing to do, pink pants. Well, to a girl, part of her identity, her whole life was her hair. Now you're coming and telling her Orthodox Judaism says cover that. So to her, it's no different than wearing pink pants. The fact that the halacha says it, well, a guy has to understand. If he's chozer b'tshuva, she's chozer b'tshuva. He's a work in progress, she's a work in progress. She comes in and says, I can't cover my hair. She's not saying I can't eat kosher. She's saying, this is a major thing for me, and I'm not yet ready to do that. Well, is every guy ready to do the major things for them within Judaism? There are major things. How many times have I had classes where guys... Not here, not in Mahon Meir. In all honesty, it never happened in Mahon Meir. But in other places, I've had opportunity to teach where people told me, I am not circumcised, but I don't have the guts to do it. I had a guy who came to Mahon. He was in his 50s, getting married. He came to get a circumcision. Now, he didn't even need a circumcision. He only needed a tufas dam bris. You're talking about a prick. And he was walking around his whole life with the fear, I can't do it. He didn't even feel it when I did it. But when he was about to get married, he said, I can't go into married life without doing this. So he came, we did it here one morning before class. So,
was it like in the office?
What?
Was it in the office? Where
you? It was in the office, sure. What's the big deal? You're talking about it's smaller than a paper cut. It's nothing.
Okay.
Where do you want me? Okay, I'm saying for a baby, you could do it in base medrash for an adult. No?
That's a weird job.
What? I didn't hear you. I used to have a pack of blades in that office.
Oh, stop.
Just in case, you know. I want to explain. You already took me on tangent, Lucas. Let me explain. The idea is that if a guy comes and tells me, you know, I was circumcised by a non-Jew. I was circumcised before they. I was circumcised at night. So. On any one of those, so he needs a tufas dam bris. Really, you don't feel it. But I did it as a favor to guys, because I would tell a guy, look, halachically, you should do it. So sometimes the guy would say, okay, I want to do it. So then I'd say, okay, come to the office, we can take care of it right now. Now, if I ever set up a schedule, almost every time I set up an appointment with someone, they didn't show. They chickened out the last minute. You know what it means, coming down special. And then the guy calls you and says, look, I missed the bus. Almost every time, people took him two or three appointments before they actually had the courage to show up. So that's why I had it ready here, so that if anyone wants, it's ready. They don't have to walk around with the fear before they know it. It's done. But at any rate, I'm saying what's important to understand is that when we're dating, we're looking to see that we share values. Share values means we both have the same set of priorities. When you ask me what's important to me, so I give you guys an exercise, write down what are the values you want to give your kids. write down a list of 10. What do you want to give? What do you think she wants to give? She should write down what she wants to give and what she thinks you want to give. Check if they match. Now, did I tell you the mashal I give of climbing a mountain? We didn't.
Yeah.
Two people climbing a mountain, leg tied together?
No.
No. Okay. Imagine two people climbing a mountain. And as they're climbing the mountain, so they have to climb together because he has his right leg tied to her left leg. So that leg has to climb together because on one leg they're tied to one another. Now as they're climbing the mountain, they look up the mountain and they see rocks rolling towards them. But they have enough time to dodge the rocks, to jump to the right or jump to the left because they see the rocks coming. That's all good, so long as they both jump in the same direction. The problem arises when they see the rock, and he says, let's jump left. And she says, no, let's jump right. And he says, no, I say left. And the rock's approaching. That's when it starts getting dangerous. So the mountain is the mountain of life. The people with their legs tied to one another, husband and wife. And the rocks, well, those are the challenges that life throws at us. You never know what challenges you're going to face. You don't know if it's an issue of health, fertility, wealth, finance, getting a good job, getting fired and having to move, if it's going to be an educational issue, if it's going to be a psychological issue. You don't know what challenges are going to come up. If you're going to have a neighbor that likes to break into your house, if you're going to have a million challenges, you never know what life has in store for you. You don't know. You don't know what challenges are coming. You're laughing. I was telling a true story. No, this was a question someone posed. They have a neighbor that walks in unannounced and even goes through their drawers. And he says that they have to react, and his wife says, don't be so uptight, they mean well. Deal, what? Go deal, right? If you say what? Some things you can't make up. Coming back to here. So I'm saying, as you do not know in advance what challenges life will present, what you need to know is that your reaction's going to be equal. How do you know that? You can't anticipate every challenge that's to come. You can't discuss every challenge that's to come. What you can discuss is what are our priorities. In life, we're going to have to give up on certain things. You choose a place to live. So it drives me crazy when people say, I can't marry her. She wants to live in the north, and I want to live in the south. And I say, wait a second. Why do you want to live in the south, and she wants to live in the north? I must live near my parents. Okay, so that's priority number one by you, right? That's more important than your wife. What's your order of priorities? And the next question, so question number one, you really have to discuss when we're going to have to compromise. What do we compromise on? Some people will say, I have to live out where I have vast land before me and I can breathe in the morning. That's so important to me, even if I have to commute. And I don't get to see the kids all day, but I have the territory. And other people would say, I got to have time with the kids. Where I live is less important. And a third person will say, what's important to me is that the kids have a good education and a good society to grow up in. The other things are less important to me. These are things you should discuss. You have to understand, do you share priorities? And then there's an adjunct to that, which is the question of how do you decide? What happens when you're going to have to compromise? How do you decide? So, let's take a simple example. The question of what mezuzahs you buy. Okay, we'll take a simple example. You can go buy Sephardi mezuzahs. They'll cost you 100 shekel a mezuzah. You could buy Ashkenazi mezuzahs. They'll cost you 200 shekel a mezuzah. How do you decide?
What's the difference?
There's different writing. So you'll say, my custom is Ashkenazi. And your wife's going to say, but Sephardim are good Jews and our neighbors pay half the price. And if you pay that money on the mezuzahs, we can't go on vacation this year. So let's have Sephardi mezuzahs. They're good kosher mezuzahs. And let's go on vacation this year. Why not? How do you decide? Don't nitpick the example. The question is, how do you decide? Your parents invite you to vacation to the Bahamas on Pesach. So your wife says, it's Pesach, you have to be in Israel. And you say, the Bahamas is a great place to say Lishon HaBa Yerushalayim. You know, what's the kunst to say that in Jerusalem? How do you decide? Again, the example is less important. The real question is, how do you decide? So you can say it's a question of priorities. Sometimes it's a question of which rabbinic authority we're going to go to. Or do we go to a rabbinic authority? Couples are faced with real questions. We had a student that was told that there's a high likelihood that their baby would be brain damaged. So I had the good fortune that they called me and asked me what to do. So I said, be prepared to hug and love and kiss the baby. As the baby was okay in that. And I had the good fortune of circumcising that baby. It's like healthy and well. Everything's perfect. But when the baby was in utero, they weren't sure. How do you decide? So one person's going to say, well, I asked the Shaila, I asked the Halacha, and I do whatever the Halacha says. The second person says, I'm willing to do what the Halacha says so long as it doesn't cost me too much. A third person says, well, the Halacha is a good option. There are other options in life. When it comes to dating, we're not discussing what Judaism says. We're discussing where are you? And are you and she at the same place? And that's what I said in the beginning, that this is the point that people get wrong most. This question, do we have shared values? People, when a guy comes to me and says, she doesn't want to cover her hair, should I marry her? I always say, I'm not interested about the hair covering as much as the question of, how does she decide what she does do and does not do? And does that match how you decide? You could say, look, I'm a work in progress. I know that there are 20% of the mitzvahs I'm not yet keeping. But okay, I made great headway. I'm making 80%. And I feel ready to get married. So she's not keeping 20%. And I'll say, fine. But what happens when you don't overlap? You got to discuss it. You got to figure out, can this work yet? If I'm still a work in progress, then maybe I have to land before we can get married. Maybe she has to land. Maybe not. I'm not saying the answer is universal. But the discussion is, do we match on the modus of operandi? Do we match in the way we reach decisions? So we began with the question of, do we share values? We evolved to, do we share priorities? And now I'm taking that to a tangent, which in Orthodox life is very relevant, which is the question of, how do we make decisions? Because there are going to be new questions. We can have shared values today, but what will happen tomorrow? Yes?
Sometimes which a person might want to marry up. They might want their wife to be, they would be embarrassed to not to be asleep when she wakes up, or to not have prayed with a minyan, that she's operating at a higher level of observance than you are, and that will help you grow. And something like that. So I've heard that the wife is more religious than the husband, she can drag him up. If the husband is more religious than the wife, she'll drag him down. I've heard that before. I'm not sure or not, but you address that and the idea of the matching, whereas everyone might want to marry up, so to speak.
I think there are too many factors to really cover that. It's definitely against the general recommendation. I'll just point out a few points. Marriage is about two people connecting. You need to be very similar in order to connect. You need to have many shared values, ideals, goals, vantage points, perspectives, desires, in order to connect. it's rare that two people will have such a par, like you're saying, that she's much more religious than him and that the marriage will make sense. That's usually not a way that can work. You have where one is a little bit stronger than the other. The two people can't be identical, but they have to be within the same realm. In general in life, when people try to force themselves into growth, it rarely works. That's been my experience. People very often say, I'll get a job where I have to get up on time, even though I never do. It's very complicated for that to work. More often than not, they lose the job. You have a guy who's in the army where they're going to show up and beat the daylights out of him if he stays in bed. Okay, so that's, you know, then he's going to get up on time. And even then, not always. But that's a little bit different. But when you have a guy who says, I don't get up on time, so I'll get a job that forces me to get up on time. Well, sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. That's a pretty big risk. Marriage is something which you want to connect to. And here, that brings us to another point, which I was going to leave over for later. The advice my aunt gave. My aunt said, there are the shoes you wear when you go jogging. There are the shoes you wear when you go to an event. There are different types of shoes in life, right? There are the shoes you wear when you go tap dancing. All kinds of shoes. Then there are the shoes you come home after a long day of work, you just want to rest, you put on those slippers that your foot just slides into and you feel comfy and home. Marriage shouldn't be high heels. There are women that you're on high heels all the time. There are women that are classy. There are women like tap dance. There are women that are sporty. There are a lot of things. You need a wife who's home. That you come home, you can be yourself, you're comfortable. She's comfortable with you, you're comfortable with her. That's marriage. Now, a little bit of a par between you, okay? There's always going to be a little bit. There are going to be areas where you're stronger, areas where she's stronger. It's going to be little. Once it becomes more than that, I don't see where that could work. I think that's a very dangerous formula to say, I'll marry someone who's so much greater than I am or so much more religious than me, and that'll make me grow. What we have had here many times in the Machon is that guys were dating girls and then they said, let's take a break for a year. I'll grow, you'll grow, let's see if we match after a year. That's a different story. But to say, we'll marry, but we're not on the same page. How's that going to work as far as the values, as far as the priorities, and finally as far as the vision? Where are you headed? That's a different question than your values and priorities. What are your dreams? Where do you want to get to? There's another point. There must be mutual appreciation. I had a friend who I really like. I haven't been in touch with him for years, but I really like him. Very gentle guy. And there was a girl who described the guy she was looking for, but she was filled with life, you know, filled with zest. And I was very nervous setting the two of them up. So I didn't. And after half a year that I knew, when I kept telling myself, this makes sense, this is exactly what he's looking for and what she's looking for, I gave her a call, and I told him, look, there's a girl who I think might be good for you. I described the girl for him. He gave me the go-ahead, and then I called her up, and I said, look, I this is a shidduch I've been delaying for half a year. I haven't set you two up. And the reason is because this guy is really, really great, but the only problem is he's gentle. And I'm scared that you will see his genteel as a weakness. You cannot marry someone unless you value and appreciate the core elements of their personality. One of the core elements of his personality is that he's gentle. If you will view it as a weakness and you'll say, oh, I'm willing to compromise on a guy like that, I don't think you should marry him. But if you'll look at that and say, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, I'd love to have this guy as my husband, then I said, I'm willing to set you up on one condition, that you will not marry him if you feel that that's a weakness. Only if you view that as a strength. And they're happily married today. I told them both to, no. She didn't. I said, as you date, you'll bear this in mind, you'll see. And as they dated, I called her up and reminded her twice once in the middle and once just before they got engaged. And I told her, are you sure you view it as an asset, not as a compromise? Because the core elements of one another's personality have to be elements that you appreciate. It can't be I'm compromising. Okay, I gave you guys the example. We had a couple that was already engaged. And the girl said, she's willing to compromise and marry a ger. And I was very upset by the shidduch. And then she broke it off. But I was very upset. I said, you can't take a key element that's such a strength and look at it and say, yeah, I'm willing to compromise on that. Then that doesn't work. It has to be that the key elements that both of both personalities are elements that are appreciated by the other. And we have three more minutes, then we have to end for this semester. We discussed that you have to be comfortable with the other party. I think one of, after you've ensured that intellectually it makes sense to you, emotionally it makes sense to you, you don't feel like there are red lights turning on, you've checked that you share values, you've checked that you share priorities, you've checked that you share goals and dreams, that you're 70 to 80% concentric circles. You're very similar in many ways. You can work together. Now, we've had many shidduchim here with American Ashkenazim and Yemenites or Moroccans, but they shared values. They shared goals and dreams. So if you share all that, then you have to ask yourself a few pivotal questions. Do I miss her when I'm not with her? Do I enjoy being with her? Would I want to continue with her? Very often, people reach this conclusion because they say, I don't want the date to end. I don't want her to go home to her house and me to go to my house. I want to continue. It's not this, people think it's this adrenaline rush and rainbows are flying and everything, the whole world is sparkling. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Sometimes it's just the feeling, I want to continue my life with this person. I don't want the dating to end. Well, then the way to continue is by getting married. But you have to ask yourself four pivotal questions. Number one, after you've covered everything we discussed, do I feel comfortable with who she is? Who she is today? Number two, when I'm with her, do I feel like I can be myself? Am I comfortable with myself when I'm with her? Very often, we're wonderful with certain people. We're great. You'll find with some people you're very funny, with some people you're very smart. Different parts of our personality come to be expressed depending on who we're with. But are you comfortable when you're with this person? Are you comfortable being yourself? Are you comfortable with who she is? And the two other questions are the contra of those. Is she comfortable being herself? And is she comfortable being you? Is she comfortable with you being you? Again, this is provided that you value the core elements of one another's personality. I would add one other point, and that is that there should be mutual respect. Sometimes relationships develop very well when one side is always knocking and the other side is always getting knocked. It's a hard relationship. You have to wonder how that's going to work in the long run. I'm not saying it's an impossibility, but I don't know how those relationships work. Okay, I don't understand every relationship. I think a healthy relationship will see two people who are comfortable being themselves and comfortable with the other person. And that's in a nutshell. So when we're dating, the final point being that we had to skip to this, don't expect this to happen too soon. You know, I was dating a girl. It was day 12. It was Chol HaMoed Sukkos. I was leaving yeshiva, and I met Rav Avi Gauftman. He asked me, how's it going? I said, thank God, not so good. He said, what's wrong? I said, I'm dating this girl, and we're already up to day 12, and this poor girl, I'm the first guy she's dating, and I can't figure out if anything's going to come of this. So I'm going to end it today. I was on my way to the date. And he said to me, why end it? And I said, how long can I drag the girl along? I don't know if this is it or not. I don't know yet. And it's already day 12. I'm the first guy she's dating. How could I continue? So he said to me, You have any reason to say no other than that? I said no. It hasn't taken off yet. I don't know. It's good, but I don't know. I don't see yet that I'm going to marry her. So he said to me, 12 isn't a big number. Keep dating. He said to me, people have dated 25 and 30 dates and then realized it wasn't it. If you're not sure, that's not a reason to stop. And I listened to him, and I'm married to that girl today. He gave me good advice. But I was on my way to break it up because at day 12, I wasn't sure where things were holding. People sometimes... Sure, she knows the story. People sometimes think it has to be clear that it's right away. No, give it time and you'll see. Obviously, if it makes sense to give it time. Okay, so that was in a nutshell, our dating class in a nutshell this year. Yes?
Before you mentioned that you should consider it after like 40 dates,
marriage? No, I said that I don't think you should get married in less than 40 dates, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have an inclination where it's going. Yes, sometimes it takes...
Dates.
I believe I said that Rav Listman disagrees with me, but my opinion is that that could be,
yeah.
But a guy at Machon Meir has a history that means you're coming from somewhere, you're going to somewhere, the girl you're dating chances are is also coming from somewhere and going to somewhere. In order to really understand one another, it takes much more time. I think it's wrong for a person who's Chozer B'Tshuva to consider marriage in less than 30 dates, and my recommendation would be to date 40 dates. If it's going good, then you'll date Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. Once it gets serious, in a month you did your 12 dates. It doesn't take too long. Okay?